Hello, my name is Nate Graybill. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography, pride, and codependency. That last one, codependency, is what we're going to talk about tonight, and that's a new one that's been added to my list. And in full disclosure, you know, I actually have been going through regeneration as a participant over the last year, and I just wrapped that up, and to my surprise, one of the things that popped out of there was codependency. It's not something that's been there before. And so know that as I'm speaking tonight, I'm also speaking to myself as I'm learning and I'm new in this, and we're just growing in what God wants for our relationships. So pray with me. Lord, I want to thank you so much that we can be complete and whole in Christ. And I just pray that you'd help us to understand what you intended for our relationship with you and what you intend for our relationships with others. Be glorified here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if you're like me, but it's kind of hard for me to get my arms around what codependency is, how that relates to relationships and how it works out as we relate to one another in Christ. It was always a difficult thing for me to grasp. But I'm going to start just with the definition of codependency that just shows up in many of the dictionaries that are out there. And codependency really describes unhealthy relationships in which individuals use one another to get their own emotional needs met in a manner that harms each other and the relationship. And codependency is something that you see an awful lot within recovery groups because it really goes hand in hand with addiction. You know, oftentimes there is someone that is an emotionally weak person who needs someone that is an emotionally strong person to support them, but we find that that emotionally strong person is actually weak because they have a need to be needed. And so in this relationship, the person that has the need to be needed, gives to that person that is addicted, and that person that's addicted needs that other person to supply what they need. And so that is codependency. A lot of times in mental health circles, they'll call this a relationship addiction. And then it's not easy to detect because it will show up a lot of times like sacrificial service and love. But the reality is that codependency, when it's in full force, enables one another sin. It can even lead you into sin yourself when you're in a codependent relationship. Or the unhealthy relationship can start to define your identity. And so it's really important for us to understand how God wants us to relate in relationships. And so I thought maybe a fun way for us to think about, you know, whether or not this would be something that shows up in our life now that we're here in Texas is I'm going to pull out my best Jeff Foxworthy impression. And we're going to talk about, hey, you might be a codependent if, all right? And so I'm just going to start off with the people that it might be relevant here in Regen. You might be a codependent if you were up till midnight last night working on your spouse's inventory, right? Okay, this is someone, and there might be people here that you showed up for recovery, right, to support the person that really needs it, and all of a sudden you found that you needed to be here. This is kind of the savior, you know, the one that's constantly trying to solve someone else's problems. You often feel better about yourself when you can help the other person's pain. You find yourself working harder at someone else's recovery than they are working themselves. You feel guilty when they make mistakes, like maybe you should have done more, or if you'd have done this, they wouldn't have acted this way. That is the savior. You might also be a codependent if, for the fifth year in a row, you've taken your kids to Chuck E. Cheese for your birthday because you're happy when they're happy. And so this is the person that is the people pleaser, right? And they, that they're more aware of other people's feelings than their own. And your actions and your words and your decisions are dictated by how you predict the other people respond. And you do all that you can because your feelings about yourself are tied to your love and approval that you receive from others. You often set aside your own desires and hobby to accommodate another person's needs. And just so you know, this is kind of the area that comes up in my life. Specifically, when I was in junior high, I think sixth grade. My parents brought in a foster brother. He was 15. I think I was 12. I was the oldest of three until that moment. I grew up in a Christian family, good home, but when we bring in somebody that's been raised in the foster system that's older, going into his teenage years, it kind of changes all the dynamics. And I decided to be the good kid during that time and just stuff my emotions and not be a problem when there were other problems going on in the home. And it was during that time that I started to medicate with pornography. And so over those years, as I was going through adolescence, I started to receive affirmation from a fantasy world. I looked to women in my imagination to affirm my manhood rather than talking about that. And that played out in relationships later in my life, in high school, many unhealthy relationships, and later on even blossomed again as a pornography addiction. And today where I discovered it was in my relationship with my wife, is that a lot of times I will look to her to affirm my manhood in ways that are not healthy. Because if she's happy with me, then I'm more of a man. And the reality is that I can be a leader, a full man of God, complete in Christ, whether or not my wife responds to me the way that I hope or not. So the responder, who's always aware of someone else's feelings, always making accommodations. You might be a codependent if you found yourself telling a teacher that the dog ate your child's homework, right? If you're making excuses. If this is the last time you're going to say this for the fifth time today, right? You don't have good boundaries as they come in. And so sometimes you set aside your own values, your word, or your promises in order to connect with a person so that you can maintain that relationship. You're holding on tight to that relationship. You're in pain when they're in pain. You're pleased when they're pleased. Sometimes you rescue when you shouldn't. You keep secrets. You isolate. And often you have poor boundaries. And the last one, I call it kind of the incompleter. And this is the person you might be a codependent if you've got U2's Bono singing With or Without You on repeat in your car all the time. Right? Or if your favorite line in the movies, it comes from Jerry Maguire's, "You complete me." All right? This idea of that you cannot be a whole and complete person without the other individual. And the reality is that we can't be whole and complete without something. God created us incomplete to be incomplete without Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, He set eternity in our heart. And without Him filling our hearts completely, we'll always have that sense of not being complete. But that completeness is not found in another relationship. And so you don't feel like you're whole without that relationship when you struggle with this. You try hard to be what the other person wants. You believe that the other person needs you in order to function. And this relationship or the chaos of relationship preeminently defines how you see yourself. Whether it's your mother, a father, a friend, a lover, a spouse, and when they fail, you feel like a failure yourself. You're constantly putting out fires, and the chaos itself defines you. You're like a firefighter in the midst of a wildfire, and all you're armed with is a squirt gun. Or maybe you're the ringmaster in a five-ring circus, and no one gave you the run sheet. You've lost your identity. Or your identity becomes the crisis in and of itself. So these are signs that you might be struggling with codependency. And the effects of this is that a lot of times you live in fear. You might live in fear of abandonment, of being alone, or fear that you're going to end up trapped in the relationship, or maybe you're just losing the dream of what a relationship could be, or what you hope it could become. Or some life that you have out there in the future that you're hoping this relationship would be the channel to. Sin thrives in a codependent relationship. Your efforts to help save the other person enables his or her sin and pulls you into the sinful behavior yourself, pulls you away from your relationship with God rather than pushes you towards it. Often you have a low self-worth. You feel responsible, guilty, like a failure, like you don't deserve anything better. Maybe you even lose your identity. You're so tied to the relationship that you lose your sense of self or the person that God intended you to be. And so I know that this has happened at times in my life in certain relationships at different levels, and I know that this is something that happens quite often here. But I wanted to invite Robin Culling up. She's our resident expert on codependency. She's affectionately known as Birdie. She's also the one that gets you into groups, so give her a round of applause as she shares her story.
Hey, guys. My name is Robin. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from codependency. Hey, guys. Wow. I felt like he was just telling my whole life there. Okay, so this is what codependency looks like in my life. My earliest memories are filled with an insatiable desire to be loved and valued. Looking back, I can see my unhealthy attempts to secure the worship of others to make me feel whole. My first love was my daddy. We were very close, but I knew that I was deeply loved. But my dad had high standards and seemed disappointed or frustrated when I made mistakes. I believed that this response meant that I had to be perfect for him to love me. I hated disappointing him. I would do whatever it took to keep him satisfied with my performance. I made sure that I excelled at whatever I tried, and I became fearful to try anything that I couldn't master quickly. He was the source of my value and the object of my worship. Then boys started paying attention to me, and my hunger for validation grew to new heights. My identity was enmeshed in trying to be everything that they wanted me to be. I was so lost and couldn't decipher any of my own hopes and dreams. I was too busy doing whatever it took to obtain their affection or an attention. I ignored what I knew to be right and became heavily involved in many sinful patterns of sexual immorality and drug and alcohol abuse. I believed that this was all I deserved and that I would never be good enough to be loved. I had become whatever you wanted me to be, and I was always living in fear that somehow I would disappoint you. This fear had such a grip on my heart and mind to the point of me attempting a drug overdose when my most beloved idol left me. I was so broken because I truly believed I was nothing without his love. But the next day, I was introduced to the love of my life. You know, Jesus. I was told that he loved me. No matter what I had done, he loved me. He loved me so deeply that he joyfully went to the cross to die for all the sin I had committed. He loved me and would never leave me. This was pure joy to a codependent's ears. All that I had to do was accept his free gift of salvation. I was confident that night that if everyone left me, everyone in the world rejected me and would leave me, he would not. He would always be with me and would love me. So I wish I could tell you that I then no longer struggled with codependency, but I did. The Lord and I began a journey together to root it all out. He continued to show me how deeply these beliefs and desires for others' approval had permeated every facet of my life. So here are some examples. In the workplace, I would find myself working long hours, trying to get everything perfectly done to gain the approval of my bosses. I had no idea what healthy boundaries look like. I would work late to even finish other people's work. I would do whatever was needed to get the job done because I wanted to be loved and valued and needed. But this was all at the expense of my family, my health, and well-being. Another example, I'm the mother of three precious children who needed me. I became their source of love, attention, food, entertainment, and emotional security. I loved it, and they loved me. I derived my value from how they responded to me. If they were happy, I was valuable. If they were upset with me, I was devastated. I was even enabling unhealthy relationships with them by ignoring their sin out of fear that they would leave me and not love me if I spoke out against what they were doing. Thankfully, the Lord brought people into my life who spoke truth to me and helped me see how I placed my children, husband, parents, and employer over God. I was seeking my value from broken people instead of getting my value from my Creator. I confessed my sin of idolatry and asked God to continually show me all the little areas where this sin was taking root in my heart. And He is faithfully showing me them each day. And it seems like every day I have to confess, I'm prone to wander in His love, from His love and seeking the validation of others. Now I'm a grandma named Birdie. I have 9 grandkids, by the way. I love to read to my grandkids. And one of my favorite books is The Giving Tree. I even had a decal of this on the back of my iPhone where the apple would match right up with the apple on my iPhone. Okay, so this was all great until a friend noticed it and told me this was a book about codependency. I gasp. No, it can't be. I reread it and he was right. Thanks, John. The tree was only happy when she could give herself to the little boy until she was nothing but a stump. He would take whatever she offered and only return when he needed something else from her. He took her apples to make money, her limbs to build a house, her trunk to build a boat, and then she was a stump and he sat on her. She had nothing left to give him. And this is where my life was headed without Jesus. So now the daily work continues to look to God for my value, asking him to help me be aware of when my eyes shift off of him and onto other people, confessing when I fail, and then accepting his forgiveness so I can focus on him again and not live in the shame of my failure. So my name is Robin. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from codependency. Praise God for the changes he's making in my life. Thanks.
What a blessing Birdie has been to our team and the way that she grows and works through this and teaches us just as she changes in Christ. So I guess you might be a codependent if you feel like a stump and everybody's sitting on you, you know. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the spiritual issues that are behind codependency. And I think probably the first one is that when you allow a relationship or a person other than God to determine your significance, we call that idolatry. You see, what God thinks about you is what matters most. And what he thinks about life and says about life is what matters most. And giving yourself away to someone to the point that you're not holding Christ is idolatry. You are significant to God. Fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, gifted so that you can do good works that he's planned in advance, offered redemption through the blood of his son. You're invaluable to the holy God of the universe. You matter to him. And second, we are to respond first and foremost to our Maker. The very first command that was given in the Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. And that includes your spouse, your wife, your idea of children, your friends, your boss, those people. You shall have no other gods before me. And the second thing that's at the core of this is more of me, I think, is pride. See, the reality is you are not the Savior. Christ is the one that changes hearts, and he alone is the one that's sufficient for your needs. Your constant efforts to rescue, excuse, or fix someone in order to protect them from the pain caused by sin may be the very thing that is getting in the way of their understanding of their desperate need for Christ. If you're trying to take on a role that only Christ can accomplish, then either one, you don't believe that Jesus truly is the answer or the solution to that person's problems, or two, you want the adoration that's due to Christ. God loves the person far more than you could ever love them. His plans are far better than you can ever plan. He's gifted them in ways that they can participate in his work, and then he holds them with an open hand so that they can choose him, because love is a choice. Your job as a friend, lover, parent, child, boss is to be faithful to God, to point people to Christ, not to participate and enable deeds of darkness. Allow God to work in their lives. You have no power to make someone else respond to Jesus. And Jesus loses no one. In John 6, 3, 37 through 39, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise them up on that last day." You can trust whoever you love to Christ. He won't lose them. And your job is to direct them to the one who can save. And so, what does this mean if our relationships are not to be so intertwined that they're codependent? You're not to live independently. We're created for relationships. God created us to live in relationships and to know him through relationships. And so what he's created us for is not codependent relationships, but interdependent relationships. I'm going to explain the difference here a little bit. An interdependent relationship is when people who are whole in the love of Christ actively, selflessly, lovingly use their gifts for the mutual benefit of one another while working against unhealthy behavior. A codependent relationship is reactive, where you react to relieve short-term pain. An interdependent relationship is one that is proactive, where you're willing to go through long suffering with one another and allow people to suffer the consequences of their pain so that they might know Christ long-term. Long-term best interest is always in mind when you love someone that way. A codependent relationship is selfish. I help you so that you might love me more. I want more of your love and admiration. An interdependent relationship is selfless, where you present opportunities for people to know God and to grow in Christ. Your response to me is secondary. The way you respond to Christ is preeminent. A codependent relationship has dishonesty and pride in it. You deny sin. You deny your feelings. You peace fake. You ignore the damage of sin. You blame shift, right? Interdependent relationships have an honest humility with it, where you speak the truth in love with one another. You invite peace with God on his terms, not on someone else's terms. Codependents wrestle with people-pleasing, enabling or participating in sin in order to please the other person and make them happy. Interdependent relationships are God-glorifying, right? Your goal is to repent of sin so that you can turn to walk with Christ, to know him more, and to glorify him. So the key to healthy relationships, ultimately, is you yourself finding your identity and significance and purpose in Christ first and foremost, right? The more we know who we are in Christ, the more who we like who we are in Christ, and the more that we act who Christ has called us to be, the more we'll grow in healthy relationships. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I still trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So if you're someone that wrestled with codependency, here's a few steps for you to take. Same steps that we take here with every other addiction that we deal with. Number one, admit to yourself that you struggle with this. Be honest about what you value most in life. Be honest about your emotions. Is it a relationship that you value most? Is it your hope to be a mother someday that you value most? Your hope to be loved by someone here on this earth in your old age that you value most? Or is it your relationship with God that you value most? Two, confess and repent of sin. Tell God and someone you trust in what areas you're struggling. This is something that you're going to battle with regularly because you're always dealing with relationships. Tell them about your idolatry, about your pride. Stop focusing on what the other person is doing or not doing and focus on what you need to do to be right with God and to find significance in Him. Three, establish healthy, interdependent relationships. That's what we're trying to do here in your small groups. Surround yourself with people who continually point you to Christ to have your needs met. Be that same kind of person yourself. You're going to need these folks if you have to draw boundaries with unhealthy relationships. Don't isolate. Find biblical community for support. And then last, but probably most important, allow Jesus to be your first love and pursue Him most. Christ alone loves you perfectly. Understand your value to the sovereign God of the universe. Embrace who you are in Christ. Only God's love can satisfy you eternally and today. Only a person who's whole in Christ, who's filled and driven by His love, will know the depth and freedom and relationship that Christ intended for us when He created the world and created us for each other and for Him. Pray with me. Lord, You are all that we need to be complete in Christ. But You've also created people for us to be in relationship with. You've put Your Spirit in people to spur us on to You. And so as we learn to love one another and hold people with open hands, I just pray that You would fill us with Your love so that we're able to know who we are in You, embrace who You've made us to be, and to love in the way that You've loved us, pursuing You in all things for everything we need. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.